I confess to you very frankly that it would be very easy for me to go back over this third chapter again, especially dealing with the purpose of God in Christ. I wish I could find words to express just the way I feel as I read and think and meditate upon the marvelous truth which we've just been discussing here day after day. The tremendous position, the tremendous place, the marvelous relationship that the believer in Christ has with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. To know that you and I can come into the very presence of God, bold to speak, having access through the new and living way which He has consecrated for us. You remember in chapter 2? In chapter 2 we had that marvelous verse where it speaks of the fact that through Him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now in chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Could I spend a moment again on this? I wish I could put into words what I would like to say to you with respect to this fact that you and I have robbed ourselves of tremendous, tremendous blessing. We have robbed ourselves of a tremendous experience. We've robbed ourselves of the experience of His, not only of His grace, but of His power. The experience of a relationship, a vital, perfect, eternal relationship with a living, sovereign God. Access. God is not a million, billion miles away. You and I are as close to Him right now as we ever will be in relationship, in position. We were just speaking the other day on Daniel chapter 9 and 10. Do you remember that when Daniel began to pray, the very first words were heard by God? How near then is the throne of God? Just as near as we can be. The moment we speak, He hears. Oh, but you say, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not good enough to come. I don't feel like coming. I'm cold. Listen, my friend, if that's where you feel, the more reason for you to come. The more reason for you to come. Let us come with confidence, boldness, to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. He has mercy for those who need mercy. He has grace for those who need grace. He has power for those who need power. The thing that God craves, my friend, is your fellowship and my fellowship. And what we're doing is we're running away from God. We're not giving Him the opportunity of delighting in fellowship with us. It is not that God is running away. We are the ones that are running away. We are the ones that are holding back. God is always ready. The door is always wide open. That's why I said here in our last lesson, the very angels of God are wondering. Here are people who come into the presence of God and they're bold to speak. They have no fear. They come with a confidence into the very presence of God. That's why Paul says in the next verse, tribulations and distress, what do they mean when a person has such access in the presence of Christ? What is suffering in comparison to a place in the eternal purpose of God and His Son? To be made one with Him, to be fellow workers with God, one in life, one in heart, one in purpose. Oh, I say the marvel of it, that God should take you and me and redeem us, and then bring us into the place where His own resources are to be evident in us and through us. To know that through eternity you and I are going to be the objects and the display, to display His grace and His wisdom. The world by wisdom knew not God. The world knows nothing of the wisdom of God. The world boasts of its wisdom. The world boasts of its knowledge. And as we read in Corinthians chapter 1, the very wisdom of man is foolishness with God. My friends, My friends, I wish in some way by the Spirit of God through His Word I could bring to you just what Paul is talking about. To be brought into the purpose of God. I again repeat that verse in Romans 11. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of God? Who hath been His counselor? Nobody. And then to think that God should take you and me, creatures of the dust. We who at one time were rebels and sinners, to think that He should pick you and me up and not only redeem us, but bring us into this relationship, into this closeness with Himself, whereby we're one with Him in His inheritance, children of the living God, one with Him in His purposes, and to come at any time having our access in Christ to the very throne of God. I say again how much we Christians have robbed ourselves of blessing, of power, of usefulness, because we get so occupied with ourselves and our own little world, and our own little doings, and our own little programs. We have missed so much of God Himself. In fact, I fear that too many of us are more occupied with the service of Christ than we are with the person of Christ. More occupied with our own little program instead of being occupied with the great purposes of God. And then to revel in the fact that we're one with Him in that purpose. Now, out of this great revelation of God to the Apostle Paul, there comes this wonderful prayer of Paul for power, for strength, for fellowship. And starting in at verse 14 of chapter 3 of Ephesians and running down to the end of the chapter, we have here before us the second prayer of Paul. You remember in the first chapter, we had his prayer for knowledge, that we might know the purpose of God, that we might know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in saints. We might know what is the hope of His calling. We might know what is the greatness of His power to us who believe. That power manifested in resurrection and exaltation. This is the first chapter, his first prayer. Now, when you come to the second chapter, the third chapter, pardon me, his second prayer covers the truth of the first three chapters. Just as the first prayer in the first chapter covers the question of knowledge of redemption. Now, likewise, when we come to the third chapter, you have his second prayer. It's a prayer for strength and for fellowship. Allow me to read it to you. And I'm going to take this time to read it to you this morning so you can read it and reread it so that in our next lesson we shall be able to take up this wonderful truth concerning the church. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend and lay hold of with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, or unto the ages of the ages of the ages. Amen. Now let's look at this prayer just briefly for a moment in verses 14 and 15. For this cause, because the purpose of God have been made known to Paul and to you and to me through His word, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then he goes on to make his request. May I just suggest this morning to whet your appetites for this prayer of Paul, to go back over the first three chapters and read and reread and think and meditate upon what we have said about the revelation of the church, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of his mercy, access into the presence of God, one with him in his purpose, in his counsel. And then what do you find? For this cause, because the purpose of God in Christ in the church is going to be consummated and completed in spite of all the attacks of men in hell, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, it produced worship and praise and adoration, thanksgiving. My friend, when you see such truths, do your knees bow before him? Do you bow your head and bow your heart in the presence of God and thank him and worship him? To think that God should pick up you and me and transform us into children of God, and that through us he's going to display his grace and his wisdom through the countless ages of eternity, that you and I can come into his presence, and as Revelation 22 says, and we shall see his face, to gaze upon the face of the Savior. And when we see him, we're going to be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. Does it drive you to your knees? For this cause, says Paul, I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing today if you and I just spent a little time in the presence of God, to bow our knees before him and thank him for his mercy, rejoice in the riches of his mercy and the riches of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and magnify him today in our lives by our words, by our actions. We might reveal something to our present generation, something of the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. Oh, the Lord bless you today, and may you come into his presence with confidence, having access through Jesus Christ our Lord.